All right, just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel. Thank you, Joshua. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. Amen. Amen. By the way, church, I think it'd be right if Brother Troy was here during our missions conference, we would give him a check to help on his gas. I think it'd be all right just to do that for him being here today. Wouldn't that be all right? Church, we write him a check for $100. That'd be all right. And I believe it'd be a blessing. Amen. And they're our missionaries. I appreciate them. Amen. I remember the first time I ever met them. Amen. I met them in North Carolina at Sunlight Baptist Church. And I've said it before, I don't remember Miss Stephanie. I don't know if she was there or not. I don't know if she was born yet or not. I'm not sure when she was born. It was after 1900, so she probably was born. But I'm kidding. I don't remember, but I remember Troy. They call him Troyita. I remember Troyita being with them and running out there and playing and standing there talking to Brother Troy, and that was a blessing I ain't never forgotten. Matter of fact, he came to Vision, preached for us there at Vision, I think at least once, and that was a blessing as well. And then, of course, we've seen him here several times, and that's a blessing, and we thank the Lord for that. Amen. And I said earlier, and I will say it again, that I appreciate their faithfulness on the field. Amen. And not always easy. Matter of fact, I don't know if it's ever easy to be faithful to the Lord. And some places people say, well, it's hard here. And I understand what he said about that town there. And there are some. There's places where there's just spiritual oppression. Matter of fact, the town my dad's in right now, that's a spiritually oppressed place. And it's true. But there's never anywhere where the devil says, okay, you know what, I think I'll take it easy on them here. The devil's going to fight. It's never going to be easy to have a home that serves God. It's never going to be easy to have a church that serves God. Amen. So we have to stay on the battlefield. Amen. And stay in the fight. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel. I'm going to read several different verses. I'm going to jump around and do a little bit of reading. So I'm going to start in chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And got a thought on my heart just from my daily Bible reading. And wanted to... The Lord gave me a thought on it. I'm going to try to deal with that this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Look down at verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 9. So Hannah rose. Hang on. Let me get this on. Okay. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So that means he was having a Nazarite vow from his birth. Jump down to verse number 24. I'm interested in the fact that Hannah gave her son to God. She made a vow to do it before he was ever born. She said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Amen. By the way, that could very well be how you pray for missions. Lord, if you give it to me, I'll give it. Amen. And that's how Hannah did. All right, verse number 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. You might underline that phrase. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock that would have been for sacrifice. They slew a bullock and brought him unto Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition.
Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. I like that. It didn't say they worshipped the Lord. It said he did. A child. A child can worship the Lord. That's what it says in the King James Bible. Chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Again, it's a child. He makes it very plain. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. I'm going to do some more reading in a minute, but I'm going to preach from that text primarily. I want to preach on the calling of God upon Samuel. The calling of God upon Samuel. Look at verse number 19. Chapter 3 still, verse number 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, that's from top to bottom, from north to south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Joshua Shepherd, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, I want to thank you again for this day. Lord,
yes.
For this house. Lord, thank you for the songs that were sung.
Lord, yes, Lord.
For the testimony there of what's been done in Mahaga. Lord, thank you for
thank
that.
You, Lord. Bless
Lord,
it.
Lord, we pray that you bless the whites and the travels.
Yes.
On furlough, and Lord, that you'd help them as they go back. Be able to be that witness that they should be there.
Yes.
And I pray you bless them, give them fruits for their labor. Souls for the labor, Lord. I pray you'd help tonight. I pray you'd help Daddy as he preaches. And I pray you would help us that here, or that we wouldn't just be hearers, but we'd be doers of the word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer as well. Amen. Let me say this before I get into my message. I mentioned that I didn't remember Miss Stephanie, if she is with them or not, being probably a child. But I don't know if I've mentioned this, but when we went to the funeral over at Sturgis, where when Miss Pam Tomlin, they had her funeral, and I was standing there at the door shaking hands. Melissa had gone to the bathroom and came back, and we still standing there at the door shaking hands with people. And this young man came out and spoke to a lady there and went on out the door. The lady was Kenny Mite's wife. She said to me, she said, "You probably don't know him." But said you might not have known his parents, but that was Mike and Bobby Jacobs' son. I said, "Oh yeah, I remember brother Jacobs and his wife. I remember them well." And so I stepped out the door to speak to him. They told me he plays the piano at Seven Springs, where brother Austin Wiest is the pastor, and said he plays the piano there for them. So I stepped out the door and I said to him, I said, "Young man, you probably don't remember me, but I said, your daddy preached for me in North Carolina, and you probably was with him." And he said, "When was that?" And I said, "I don't know, probably in the early 90s, maybe the mid-90s. And he said, "Well, my oldest sister was born in 1999. And I just said, "I'm sorry, son, I forgot I was that old." Amen. And some kids grow up. They become adults, and it's amazing we don't get any older faster than we do. Amen. But anyway, I'm looking here at the text here about the calling of God upon Samuel. I read quite a few verses, but it's over a span, and it's a familiar story, I suspect, to you. Familiar verses and a familiar story. And I jumped around in the reading for the purpose of moving us along and remind us, refresh us just a little bit about the accounting of the birth and the pledge and the service of little Samuel unto the Lord. Samuel, the son of Hannah and Elkanah. This story is one that's filled with deep emotions. It's a story filled with wonder and amazement. And I jotted down a few of the highlights of the story. There's the anxiety of Hannah over her inability to conceive a child. Her distress at the antagonism by Peninnah. There's the comfort and care that Elkanah offered to his wife. There's the prayer of Hannah and her pledge that is made. There's the misunderstanding of Eli. Eli saw her mouth move, didn't hear any words coming out, and mistook her for a drunk woman. Somebody said that he very well may have thought she is drunk because a lot of the women that his boys was hanging around with were drunks. His boys were profane, and he thought maybe this was a profane woman that had come in. Amen. And he saw that, but he misunderstood it. And there's the comment about the poor state of religion in Israel at that time. The rebellion and the profaneness, as I said, the behavior of Eli's sons, and the wickedness that went on right at the house of God, right on the steps of the house of God, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked individuals. And God's going to judge them, and He tells Samuel about that in his first thing dealing with Samuel. But there's also in the midst of all this, there's God's answer to Hannah's prayer. Praise God. Amen. God answered her prayer. There's Hannah's exclamation of praise. She gives that great statement of praise that many have said is very reminiscent of what Mary did. The excelsior that she gave unto God and the praise that she gave unto God for calling her to be the mother of God's own son. When Hannah said, God's given me the son that I've asked for. And she went to bragging on God and giving Him the glory for answering her prayer. Then there's the account of her obedience to the vow, her faithfulness to fulfill the vow that she made to God. There's also the statements about Samuel's submission and his obedience to follow Eli's instructions. And so we know about this story. And we know that Samuel's story is unique in so many ways. And yet I think there's some similarities that we can trace in our life and in the lives of others. We can see how that God called and used Samuel. And think about the way that God has worked, not just with him, but with others in the past. Amen. And so I'm thinking about that, the calling of God upon Samuel. And here's the thought that I really got with that. Is young people, you're not too young to serve the Lord. I mentioned in the beginning when I talked about the prayer room, I said I'd like to encourage some young men to get involved in the prayer room. I understand it's good to fellowship with one another out here and talk to your friends and all that. But I'm going to tell you, it's good to talk to God. And that's a good exercise for you and good example that you can have of being a part of that. And so that Samuel got involved in the things of God as a child. Now I realize that it wasn't his own decision initially that put him in there. But Samuel could have left at any time. Samuel could have turned out like Hophni and Phinehas turned out, but he didn't. Samuel had a determination to serve God all the days of his life. Not only did his mama keep her vow, Samuel helped his mama keep her vow. Amen. And Samuel stood with God. So I'm thinking about that in chapter number 3 and verse number 4. There's that phrase in there, and it says, chapter number 3, verse number 4, the Lord called Samuel. And that's the phrase that I'm thinking about. I say this, God often calls young people to enlist in His service. He calls young people. Some people get the idea, well, you know, when I get older, I'll serve the Lord. And that's possible. It's possible. I remember I had an uncle. He's married to my mom's sister, one of her older sisters. And I didn't know it at the time. I remember that he taught Sunday school, taught the adult Sunday school class and they did it in rotation similar to how we do it. When it was his turn to teach the adult Sunday school class, everybody talked about how that Ralph just taught and had a touch of God on his teaching. And a lot of people thought that God might call him to preach. And he made the statement that God had called him early in life, that he felt like the call of God was upon him early in life. But he worked for R.J. Reynolds. He made really good money. He had a good retirement fund. And he had real good benefits. And so he said that he made God a promise. He said, God, if you'll hold off and let me retire, then I'll serve you. I'll have all these benefits. I won't have to raise any support. I'll be able to go and do whatever you want me to do. And he did. And he died just a few months after he retired. He did announce his call to preach, but he didn't preach very long. He didn't stay in the saddle long. And you say, well, was that his fault? I don't know, but I know this. When God calls you, He don't call you for 20 years down the road. He calls you for now. Amen. He calls you for now. And I've heard this. I've heard people say, and I've, especially out west, you say, are you a preacher? Well, I'm studying to be one. No, you either are or you're not. Amen. You're either called. Well, I want to be one day. No, it's not a want to be. Are you called or not? Amen. And young people, God enlists young people in His service. He calls them to enlist them. I'm not trying to call you to preach. I'm not trying to call anybody to preach. That's God's business. But I do want to call you to enlist in the service of God. I want to call you to pray. I want to call you to give. I want to call you to get involved. Amen. In the work of God. First of all, I'll say this. We don't know the age of Abel and Cain when that they felt the urge to go and prepare a sacrifice, but I don't imagine Abel being an old man when he decided to do something for the glory of God. I picture Abel as a very young man, perhaps a young unmarried man, perhaps could have been a teenager or in his late teens or maybe early 20s, but a grown, but a young man that had started out to serve God. We don't know the need. I mean, we don't know the hour that he felt that need, but he did feel it. And God called him and God used him. Amen. And probably he was a young man when he felt that calling down in his soul. We do know that Daniel was a young man when God called him. I'm not talking about Daniel Boone or Daniel Vincent. But Daniel in the Bible was a young man when God called him. Amen. Probably in his early teens, they say. When he stepped forward and made the proclamation, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat or the wine that he drinks. When he made that decision down in his heart, when he purposed in his life, that is the true purpose-driven life, by the way. He purposed in his life that he was not going to go the way of the world, didn't matter where he was at, what group he was with. He was going to stand for God, amen, as a young man. Amen. Likewise, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that is their Hebrew names. Stood for God as young men. Matter of fact, we call them the three Hebrew what? Children. Children. More than likely they were young men, perhaps teenagers as well. Amen. But they decided that they were not going to bow to the king's music. They were not going to bow to the king's idol. Amen. They were going to stand for God, even if it meant fire. Amen. Samson was a young man when God, the Spirit of God, began to move upon him in the tribe of Dan. Amen. He began to do exploit against the Philistines. David was just a lad of a boy when he heard the blasphemy of Goliath. When he felt the call of God in his soul, somebody ought to stand. And if nobody else will, I will, praise God. And David took his stand as a little lad of a boy. Amen. God called him. David didn't just decide that on his own. That wasn't, you remember David's older brother? He said, I know the naughtiness. Yeah, the naughtiness of thy heart. That's, He thought it's just the idea that David had to get out front. David wasn't pushing himself out front. God put him out there. Matter of fact, David said, this battle's not mine. He said, this battle's the Lord's. Amen. If I could say it this way, he said, your head's mine, but this battle is the Lord's. Amen. Amen. And just a lad of a boy, when he heard that clarion call from heaven to stand for God. I'm just simply saying God often calls young people to serve the Lord. Not only are there these and other young people mentioned in the Old Testament, those are all in the Old Testament that I've mentioned thus far. But we know in the New Testament, there's Timothy, that from a child had known the Holy Scriptures. Amen. From a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. And he had been trained. Later he was saved and put in the service alongside the Apostle Paul, still as a young man. Amen. A young man serving God. Many people believe, you read commentaries, many people believe that the 12 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ were perhaps teenagers. And they have a reason for that. I'll give you a reason for that. I don't know how old they are, but I only know of one of them that was married. Of course, you've got to be at least 40 to get married. I'm kidding. But Peter was married. But also, when they came and said, you got to pay your taxes, our Lord sent Peter down there to catch a fish. You remember that? Told him to take the coin that he found in the fish's mouth. He said, go pay your tax and mine. Two of them. Why didn't the other 11 have to pay taxes? Perhaps it's because Roman law said you had to be 18 in order to pay taxes. If Peter's married, maybe he's over 18. Our Lord, we do know, was at least 30 years old at that time. So here's, and by the way, it was common when the rabbis didn't go get older folks. They got young men before the young men were out on jobs. Now I realize Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, all them had a fishing business, but that could have been started as young men. Amen. I'm not saying it's dogmatic that those disciples were teenagers, but I am saying this, God has called young people to serve Him. Oh, it'd be a blessing if He'd call some of y'all to His service. And again, I'm not saying to go to the mission field. I'm not saying necessarily to stand in the pulpit, although I'm not against that. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying just listen to the call of God. Make sure it is God calling you, not mama, not daddy, not somebody else in the crowd. Amen. But God does call young people in His service. Now, notwithstanding that last supposition, talking about those disciples, there are many recorded in the Bible, but also biographies that we could read from history of young men and young ladies that were trained by a mother and a father, trained in a church to be faithful unto God, and they dedicated their lives as young people to serve the Lord. Amen. Mrs. White went to Mexico as a young lady, right? With her parents. I don't know how old you were, but probably a child. 4 years old? All right. Amen. 4 years old. And she heard the call. She married a man and the call together for them to serve in Mexico. But she was trained in that as a young person. God help us. We're trying to train our young people. But what are we training them for? Let's train them for service unto the Lord. Amen. Service unto the Lord. A lot of young people that have been taught from a child to love Jesus. They should be. Taught to live a godly, dedicated Christian life. By the way, that does not save them. Amen. But it can keep them from having so many obstacles to overcome to serve God once they are saved. Amen. I don't know exactly when Samuel got saved. I don't know, but he worshiped God from a child and he served God from a child. Amen. And you could go on and on. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 21, I want you to look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 21, the last part of that phrase, I underlined it. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. He's a child. He grew before the Lord. Look at chapter 2 verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Amen. He grew in the things of God. Now, we not only expect this to say that Samuel grew physically, but that he grew in proficiency in doing the work of around the tabernacle, the temple, that he grew in piety and he grew in holiness and he grew in knowledge of the things of God. And that should be the aim of all God's people. Amen. But especially young people. These are your growing years. These are your formative years. Don't waste them. Amen. I know school's back in session. And maybe, I don't know how your homeschool works. Some people homeschool year round. School's back in session. And matter of fact, today's a break, but probably tomorrow. School will be back in session. Don't waste your time. Get an education. Amen. My dad used to tell me, and I didn't realize how precious it was, but he'd say, son, you better get an education while you can. While they're offering it to you, get an education. Amen. Amen. Well, not only an education in school books, but how about God's book? Amen. How about Sunday school? Amen. How about church? The things of God. Get an education about those things. I believe it's good. I believe it's right. Amen. And so I say this should be the target that we have. The target of how we raise our children and how we try to train them to serve the Lord. Amen. Just like a flower in its pot that is set up on the windowsill, and that it is set there so that it can get the full benefit of the morning sun. That flower, its petals will gradually open and it will methodically turn towards the sun. We're setting our children on the windowsill. We're setting them on the church pew. We're pointing them towards the Son of God. And we're asking God to shine on them and to draw their petals open, to draw their mind open, to draw their heart open so they can receive the things of God. Amen. That's how we ought to deal with our children. Amen. Well, I believe we ought to point our boys and girls towards the Scriptures and towards the Savior. It says that he grew in the Lord by the Word of the Lord. God revealed Himself to Samuel by the Word of the Lord. Amen. We ought to bathe our children in tears and in prayers. Amen. We ought to pray for their salvation and we ought to pray for their dedication unto God and to the things of God. Amen. Now, we cannot ensure without any doubt that our children will walk as adults in the footsteps which we have trained them in. They may not. Amen. They may come to a time, there may be a time in their life when they choose to go a different way. But we can give them the advantage of knowing the right way to go and of knowing the good way so that hopefully one day down the road, they'll not depart from it. One day it'll keep hounding them. They'll keep remembering it. And they'll know where the good way is. Amen. They'll come back to the good way, though perhaps they go a different way for a time. Amen. I want to encourage mothers and fathers. Listen to me. I'm preaching to young people, but I'm talking to moms and dads. I want to encourage you to invest. Brother Steve likes that. Invest time and effort in training your children for God. Amen. Try to raise them to be courteous. Raise them to be pious. That's not a word we use a lot today, but it's the idea of being holy and sanctified and set apart for God. Being upstanding children. Amen. I want to encourage you young people that serving Jesus is the best choice you could ever make. Amen. Best choice you could ever make. Here's the advice of our Lord Jesus in Mark chapter number 10, verses 13 and 14. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked them that brought them, or rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, here's His advice, suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. He says that word suffer them, it means allow them. Allow them to come unto Me. Don't forbid them coming unto Me. Amen. Teach them to sing Jesus Loves Me. And don't let it embarrass you when they sing that in front of a crowd that's not a church crowd. Amen. 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 Teach them to say amen. Matter of fact, they'll learn to do that. It's amazing how little kids pick up on things like that. And say amen. I remember my dad's half brother that was a preacher. He's passed away now. Had a son. His son Michael. Michael's older than me, but Michael, when he was just a toddler, learned to say amen. He learned that when he said amen, that was the end of the service. So they had a visiting preacher, and he went long, and Michael said amen, and they went on, and Michael said amen again, and just a little bit, he said it the third time, and that preacher stopped, and he said, well, there won't nobody else in this church amen, but that little boy will. And my uncle said he hated to tell him, that's because he wants you to hush. He's ready for you to shut her down. He's trying to help you find a stopping place. Amen. Amen. But you can teach them to be involved in that kind of stuff. Amen. Serving God. Well, we know this. We're distinctly aware. We're not confused about this, that grace does not run in the bloodstream. Just because the parents are saved does not mean the children are saved. Somebody said it this way, and I think it's true. God does not have any grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. You got to be born again for yourself. Amen. Ye must be born again. Not just your mom and dad must be born again. You got to be born again. Every boy and girl must come to a place of faith and repentance towards God. Amen. Have to do that for themselves. Mom and dad cannot save them. Amen. Mom and dad cannot place them into the family of God. I'm for dedicating children. I'm glad for us doing that. That's the right thing to do. But that does not guarantee that they're going to be in the family of God. But they do learn a lot by example. They learn a lot by example. We can teach them. We can pray with them. We can read to them. We can sing with them. Amen. We can sit on a church pew with them. Amen. And we should. We can train them in the way they should go. That is our goal. Amen. Now, and I, by the way, I'll say it this way. I put the emphasis, because I believe it's the way the Bible does it. The emphasis of child training is not on the government. Amen. It's not that the government must train our children. Here's people say it. Well, I'm telling you, the reason my kids are doing so bad is because our government school system's so bad. God didn't say it's the government's responsibility. Well, if we just had a good Christian school, if we just had a school at our church, it's not the church's responsibility. Amen. It is. It's the parents' responsibility. But I'll say this, and you know it's true. If they're in a Christian school or if they're in a public school, if parents don't have some involvement, they're never going to get an education like they ought to get an education. Parents got to be involved. Amen. Parents got to be involved. But, now having said that, here was the route I was going. The church does have a responsibility for these boys and girls that are sitting on our pews. Amen. We do have a responsibility towards these children that are here. What is our responsibility? Well, it's not our responsibility to bring in clowns and pony shows and entertain them. Amen. Now, we are trying to do some things to the playground equipment out here. That's good and fine. And hopefully they can enjoy some of that. But that's not even our responsibility so much. Amen. What is our responsibility to them? Well, there's a lot of things. One is that when they come, they can get a good dose of Bible preaching. Amen. They can get a good dose of praying in the Holy Ghost and seeing people worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. That they can know what real Christianity is. That it can be displayed before them. We have that responsibility. Amen. I say this, we dare not focus only on the children. But we dare not lose focus of them either. Amen. I know that we got a lot of little children in the church, and I like that. Amen. They won't be little long. Before you turn around, they'll be having little ones. Amen. But sometimes when they're little, especially mama may feel this way. Mama feels like, I don't even know why I go to church. I don't get nothing out of it. All my kids get out of it, they get from the rear end. And we feel like, what good is it doing for me? Hey, it's doing more good than you'll ever know. Amen. Amen. Keep them in there. By the way, that's one reason why I'm not for junior church. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm for church. Amen. Amen. I'm for church. Bring them in. Let them listen. It's all right for them to color in Sunday school. It's all right for them to do little activities and things like that. But they ought to know that church ain't a place to play. Church is a place where we come to meet with God. Amen. Amen. And I realize, I think I got something about it in my notes. Yeah. Many in this younger generation have not been properly trained. They bring them in on the bus, and I understand a lot of them kids, they have no idea what it means to sit down and be still. Not for a second. Amen. And so what a lot of them wind up doing, putting them out there somewhere in another building where they can be noisy and not bother the people in here. And sometimes we get bothered. I understand that. But listen, we put up with that just a little bit so that we can train them, because they don't learn to be still by not being still. Amen. They learn to be still by being required to be still. My daddy never said this. My daddy never said, son, you sit down there and be still if you want to. No, he made me want to. And I did it whether I wanted to or not. Amen. Because I wanted to live. Amen. Amen. And by the way, the children are doing real good tonight. Praise God for that. Amen. I'm preaching to them. Amen. Serving Jesus is the best choice you'll ever make. We have a responsibility to point them in that direction. Amen. Now, I've talked about God often calls young people. Here's the second point, and I've already started in it a little bit. But some suggestions about how to deal with children and young people who seem to be following after God. Samuel had a little bit of misunderstanding when God called him. And by the way, we don't not expect them to know the ins and the outs of everything when they're just a child. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I started reading it and didn't read all through it, but let's look at it together. 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at that time that Eli was old in his... that when Eli was laid down in the place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down asleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli. Why? Because he misunderstood. He didn't know it was God calling him. He went to Eli, he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. Interesting to me that the voice of God sounded to Samuel like the voice of his preacher. I wonder if we can teach our children to recognize authority, if the voice of God might not sound like some of that authority that's coming out to them. Samuel had been taught, and I don't think Eli taught him this. I think his mama taught him this. He'd been taught to respect Eli. Eli's own boys didn't respect Eli. Most of the nation of Israel did not respect Eli, but Samuel did. Amen. I'll show you even more. He said, here am I. And verse number 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and stayed up the rest of the night. No, that's not what it said. And he went and laid down. Why? Because that's what he's told to do. And he honored Eli. He respected what Eli told him to do. He could have said, you ain't my daddy. He could have. But he's taught better than that. He is trained that when an authority said, you do it, you do it. Amen. No back talk. Not tomorrow. Right now. Amen. I remember several years ago, I was a boy, and something had come up in our home, and Dad asked me to do something, and I said, I'll do it in a minute. Dad said, if I wanted it done in a minute, I'd have told you in a minute. Amen. He meant I want it done right now.
Amen.
Amen. I remember another time, an occasion with our children, when we was getting ready to go in. We was driving the church bus, getting ready to go into church. I may have told this before, Benjamin, our youngest. Benjamin's just a toddler, and I had him by the... No, I didn't have him by the hand. He was running along in the parking lot, and I said, come on, boys, it's time to go in church. And Benjamin said, I don't want to. He couldn't say won't. He said, I don't want to. I got him by the hand. I said, come on, let me help you want to. And I drawed back my hand. About the time I did, he put both of his hands like he said, I want to now, Daddy. I want to now. Amen. You can help a want to do a lot of things. Samuel obeyed Eli. Let me get back to that text now. And verse 6, and the Lord called yet again unto Samuel. Called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now look at this. Samuel is called of God, but he don't understand it. Thank God for a preacher that was there, though he's not a perfect man. By the way, none of us are. He was a very imperfect man, and yet he was willing to take time to teach Samuel the right way to respond to God. Amen. Now think about this account of God calling out Samuel. It was at the darkest time in Israel's history, or one of the darkest times. Talked about the light, the lamp of the temple or the tabernacle was about to go out. I read several different commentators that some of them said that what that meant was that it was nearing daybreak, that they'd let the light go out right, you know, it would burn through the night, but then it'd go out right at daybreak. Maybe it was late at night. Well, that's the darkest hours, right before dawn, they say. But I believe there's a spiritual connotation in that. The light of God's revelation to Israel was so dim, it was about to go out. And God from heaven spoke again. Praise God. And He spoke to a young man that He could use for years to come down the road. It was late one night. Everybody was in bed. And yet Samuel had been trained to answer when called. Now listen. When he heard what he thought was Eli saying, Samuel, he got out of bed. He could have not got out of bed. He could have been lazy and said, you know, I'll get up after a while. It's not hardly time for me to get up yet. I can lay in here a little while. But he didn't. You know why he didn't? Because Samuel apparently had been taught, when somebody calls you, you come. Amen. When somebody calls you, you come. Amen. I saw one of these children, I don't remember now which one it was, running across here, and their mama called their name, and they stopped in their tracks. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. And by the way, when you tell them come to me and they go the other way, teach them they don't want to go the other way. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but that's still right. Samuel had been trained when he'd been called to get up and go. When Eli told him that he hadn't called him, go back to bed. Again, he obeyed without question and without complaint. Later, when Eli recognized that it was God that was calling to Samuel, Eli gave Samuel instructions on how to answer God. You know what Samuel did? He obeyed those instructions implicitly. He did exactly what Eli told him to do. Amen. Amen. Now that does show good training on the part of Samuel. Again, I say probably from the teachings of his mother before she ever gave him to Eli. Amen. She took him to Eli when she weaned him, which probably would have been not much more than 2 years old, if more than 2 years old. She trained him. By the way, Moses, same thing. Moses was trained by his mama before he was weaned to serve God all the days of his life. He didn't want to be called he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't learn that in the libraries of Egypt. He learned that at the knee of his mother. Amen. Amen. Mama trained him. She trained Samuel. But also, I believe, from the training of Eli. Eli, in this case that we just read to you, took the time in the middle of the night. He took the time to talk to this boy and to explain to this boy that it might just be the Lord calling. And if it is the Lord calling, here's how you respond. Amen. God help us. Brother Steve's teaching about it in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we get exasperated with people that don't snap out of it as quick as we think they ought to snap out of it when they're in distress or when they're in trouble. We get a little bit aggravated. Sometimes we do that with young people when they don't know how to do everything. Now, they don't know that they don't know everything because as far as they know, they do know everything. Amen. But it takes some time for us to stop what we're doing and teach them to do these things. Amen. Lord, help us as a church, as parents, as friends, as family. Lord, help us take the time to train these young people in the things of God. Amen. Eli told Samuel what to do. Amen. He took the time to instruct Samuel on listening to God. When we see a young person attempting to serve God, we should know that probably that young person has not been engaged in many of the sinful and degrading things that perhaps we have known in our life. They may not have the sense of fear of sin that we have. They may not have the sense of recognizing how dangerous that sin is that we have. They may not have the sense of guilt. Amen. Of sin that we have experienced. So we ought to give them a little bit of understanding, a little bit of realizing they've not got there yet, that we need to work on that. Amen. Amen. They haven't got there. Maybe those of you that were saved later in life, I got saved as a child. And so really I can see some of this. I got saved as a child. I had no, and still have no idea what liquor tastes like. What cigarettes taste like. What tobacco tastes. I don't have any idea and don't want to. Amen. I don't know what it's like to have sex with somebody besides my wife and don't want to. Amen. I don't know any of that. It's better off that I don't. I'm not fussing at you if you do. But I'm saying some of these young people, they don't know it and they don't need to know it. Amen. But we need to let them know there's a danger if you step outside those marriage bonds. There's a danger if you take that bottle of liquor. There's a danger if you start taking just a little wine, quote unquote, for your stomach's sake. There's a danger if you're going down that wrong road. We need to warn them and there'll be guilt that'll follow with it. Amen. Amen. Also, that young person may not yet have a clear concept of all Bible doctrines, or maybe not have a clear concept of much Bible doctrine. They're probably still learning. Amen. Still probably trying to work a lot of that stuff out in their own mind. Amen. Therefore, we need to take care to train them to come to a fuller understanding. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. I'll read you a few verses. I'm almost done. I know my sermon's getting longer than I anticipated it would, but this is a good thought, to be honest with you. We need to pray for our young people. Encourage them. Amen. Luke chapter number 1. Verse number 3. I noticed that verses 1 through 4 is one sentence. I'm going to jump at verse 3 and read through verse 4. Luke says this, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So here's an older man, Luke, that said, I've known this from the first. Not I've always known it, but he said, I was there when these things first started happening. And I was well aware of this. I've had a perfect understanding of it. And I want you to have just as perfect understanding. I want you to know Christ like I know Christ. I want you to know the gospel like I know the gospel. Amen. That's a good way for Luke to be. And he wrote the gospel of Luke for that purpose, for one young man by the name of Theophilus. We don't know what he turned out to be or what happened. We might know what history says, but I'm talking about the Bible doesn't mention him again. But I don't think that's wasted time, Luke investing in a young man. Turn to Acts chapter number 18. It tells about Apollos, and you remember that account as well. Probably more well known than Theophilus. Acts 18, verse number 24. Acts 18, verse 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he knew something about the Lord. He was excited about what he did know about the Lord, but he didn't know enough. All he knew was the baptism of John. All right, so verse number 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Again, a lot of times there's more zeal than knowledge, especially in young people. Now, I'm not blasting that. That's how it was with Apollos. But somebody cared enough to take him aside. Let's read on. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had learned, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Amen. Now, I don't believe that meant that they embarrassed him. I don't believe that meant that they humiliated him in front of everybody. Amen. I believe that means they took him aside and they trained him. They said, you're doing a good job as far as you're going. You're just not going far enough. Here's some things you need to know and here's some things you need to do. And they instructed him in the way of God more perfectly. Amen. Now here's a place where we must be careful. Amen. Often we forget that we have understood everything about the Bible that we understand today. Amen. Was there, let me just ask this, you can show your hand or not. Was there anybody in here ever confused about eternal security? You just didn't know about it? All right, one, two. All right, at least two. Confused about eternal security? The rest of you not raising your hand, you may be, just not know it. I'm kidding. But there's things, and I can mention a lot of other things. I remember a lady at Vision that I'd ask them, and she was an elderly lady. She's passed on now, but I would say, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. And she would not raise her hand. And she told me about the time she got saved, and I talked to her one day. Matter of fact, when she is in the hospital going to have surgery, and talked with her, and she knew she was saved, but she said, I just don't know. If I was to sin, I don't know if I'd still have it or not. You know why? She'd heard preaching on eternal security, but all of her life, her early life growing up, all she'd heard was falling from grace. What we know as Arminian theology. That's all she'd ever heard. And so it's hard for her to grasp and understand those things. Well, there's some things that we've not always had a firm stand on. Amen. More than likely, there's some standards and convictions we've got today we haven't always had. Amen. It'd do us good to remember that there's some young people here that they maybe haven't gotten there yet. Amen. Our job is not to put them down. Our job is to help them get there. Amen. Take the effort to expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Thank God for those that did that for us. Those that took us aside. Amen. Amen. That's what young people need, by the way. They need instruction. They need somebody to take time with them. That's exactly what they need. Amen. One characteristic which a child may have in his youthful way of serving Christ, following Christ, is that he genuinely and deeply loves the Savior. Amen. A real fervent love for the Savior. And little children, if Ava was to get up and start singing, and I've heard a singer standing right here try to sing out. Gracie does it, others. You know what they do? They love God from their heart. It's not all in their head. It ain't even in their head yet. But in their heart, they know they're supposed to love Jesus, and Jesus is worth singing to. Amen. A young person may not have everything figured out in their head, but their piety's not in their head. It's in their heart. Thank God for it. Jesus said, suffer these little children and allow them to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, he took a little child, set him in front of them, and he said, you got to come like that child or you're not getting in the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Well, they love the Lord from their heart. They might be lacking in wisdom and knowledge, but they may very well be filled to the brim with love and devotion and excitement for the things of God. Amen. Amen. Have that lack of full knowledge, but a heart full of love and excitement for the things of God. The young person may exhibit a sensitive conscience, shrinking back from anything that might displease his Lord. By the way, they ought to. We all ought to have that, a sensitive conscience. A childlike faith. Amen. These things are well pleasing to the Lord. Amen. I remember what Brother Joel Hyatt said this one time, years ago, I remember hearing him say it. He said in his early days he had a lot more zeal than he had knowledge. And he said, I've had young men come into churches just that way. But he said, I've learned this. He said, I would rather try to tame down somebody that's a little bit too exuberant than to try to resurrect somebody that's twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Amen. Amen. I remember B.R. Lakin said that he'd gone off to preach one time, left his assistant, young man, there, and so that young man, as his preacher said, he put his foot on the communion table. This is what he said. He said he had the audacity to put his dirty foot on the communion table. He said when he come back from his meeting, this older lady in the church called him and said, preacher, you ain't going to believe what the assistant pastor done. She said, and I'll have you know, my grandpa gave that communion table to that church. And here he is putting his dirty foot up on it. So Brother Lakin said, I told her, I'll fix it. So he said, the next service, he told him, he said, son, watch this. Don't you ever, I better not ever hear of you putting your foot up on there. He said, kick the flowers off and jump on it with both feet. Amen. He said, if you're going to praise Him with all your heart. Amen. I guess he's doing like David said. If you think it's bad today, you wait till tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But and by the way, I'm not saying be stupid, and I realize I've seen things that was pretty well, seemed pretty way out there to me. I don't understand how it brought glory to God. I'm just telling you. I've seen some things that I don't know how all that brought glory to God, but I'd say this, God help us that our heart be right and our desire be not to bring glory on ourselves, not to get somebody to look at us, but to honestly serve God with fervency, amen. Be zealous for the things of God. That's something young people have, amen. And amen. Well, I put this note here, and I'm almost done. I put this note here. These are some things that we ought to endeavor to instill in our young people and fan the flame of these things. But we should also always be careful to foster genuine love, to foster genuine devotion and faith in the heart of a young person, every young person. Amen. But we should also be diligent not to foster hypocrisy in them. Well, you're supposed to shout. Well, so-and-so, this other fellow's doing it. You ought to be doing it. No, that's not right. I'm afraid that we've all seen young people who excel in the things they are asked to do or expected to do, such as Bible reading or scripture memorization. They excel in that when they're getting praised for it. They excel in that when they're in competition for it. They excel in that when they're the ones that are known as the best, the most spiritual young person in the church, when in reality, they may not be. They may be the farthest thing from the most spiritual person in the church. We've got to be careful. It's not competition. It's not a game. Amen. This serving God's real. It's real. Amen. Don't let it become a competition. Don't let it be something that gives them bragging rights. Those are wrong motives, and they deteriorate into people that just give lip service to God rather than really living for God. Amen. Amen. A lot of times those people go off in and apostatize from the faith that they claim to uphold so stringently in the past. Amen. I say it this way, and I'm going to move on. We got to fight against this hero type Christianity. This, you're my superhero. Well, I don't have but one Lord. And you better not have but one. I don't have but one God. And I don't want any idols. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll make the preacher our idol. We'll make the preacher our God. Or we'll make some singer or some performer. Amen. Some star, some athlete will become our hero. Got to be careful with that. God's not honored in that kind of stuff. Amen. Well, let me move on here. Adults, we got to be careful to guard our own behavior. Because one thing those young people are doing, they're watching and they can spot a hypocrite a mile away. They can spot discrepancy in what you say versus what you do. They can spot it real quick. And it'll undermine their faith in the things of God. Undermine their faith in the things that you're telling them. Be careful. Amen. Be careful. We're teaching them more with our example than our words will ever teach them. Amen. We ought to be careful not to discourage a young person from following God. Jesus said this in Matthew 18:6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Amen. We said something about this the other day in the prayer room. Brother Ricky and I was talking. We were talking about that pedophile that just had somebody commit suicide on him. And some of you understand that. I don't know how he did it, but I'll just leave that alone. A whole lot of people that know a whole lot of people and I know something about some people wind up dead. Suicide. And he did. But he's a pedophile. He was known at chasing after boys and girls. And this is what I said to Brother Ricky. I said, Jesus, don't take that lightly. Jesus said, you'd be better with a millstone around your neck and you was cast into the depths of the sea. You know what that said? He said, you'd be better struggling to breathe than messing with one of them children. Amen. Matter of fact, he goes on, he said, he didn't just say thrown in the sea, he said drowned. You'd be better, no more bubbles coming out of your mouth. That's what he's saying. You'd be better, no more bubbles coming out of your mouth than if you'd offend one of them little ones. Now, I don't just believe that's talking about sexual offense. Amen. I believe he's saying we ought to be careful that we don't cause one of these young people to stumble in their attempt to serve the Lord. That's what offended means. It means to stumble, put a stumbling block in front of them. Amen. They may learn to cuss. They ought not learn it from one of us. Amen. They may learn to drink or smoke or chew, whatever, but they ought not learn it from us. I could go on and on and on and on, but I better quit. I didn't mean this to be a rough message. Brother Simpson asked me, said, you going to blow us out? I said, no, I ain't, and I didn't know it was. But in reality, our Lord called Samuel as a child. And Eli, with all his mistakes, and Eli, with all his problems, yet had this, that he took time to teach Samuel how to listen to God and how to go for God when he heard what God had to say. Amen. Matter of fact, when Samuel heard what God said, God said, I'm gonna make it so that everybody's ears that hears this will tremble. And the Bible said that Samuel lay there the rest of the night. Samuel didn't go back to sleep. Samuel was worried about what to say. He knew Eli was gonna ask him. And so when Eli did ask him, you know what Samuel told him? He told him the truth. He told him. God said he's gonna kill your whole house. God said he's going to stop you from being priests and stop your sons from being priests. And he's going to kill the whole crowd and they won't nobody in your lineage be a priest after this. That's what he told him. You know what Eli did? Have to give him credit. Eli said, it's the word of God. He didn't discount and say, oh, you can't believe what the Lord says. Oh, you know, you're taking this faith thing a little too far. You're getting too serious about this now, son. No, he didn't. Eli said, that's God's word. It'll be right. Amen. Amen. Well, let me just give one more note to parents. We've got to be careful not to ridicule young people for their youthful exuberance. Don't mock them for their inexperience. But direct them towards the things of God and encourage them to follow Him fully and wholeheartedly. Be careful not to glorify sin in the eyes of a child. Paint sin as dark and disgusting as possible. Amen. But also be careful to incite love and devotion to the Savior. Encourage them to praise the Lord, to live a chaste and holy life. Amen. Amen. Don't push your children to spend time away from you. Take time with your children. Amen. Take time to be around your children. Don't push them to be engaged in sports or in hobbies or other things that keep them with other people and away from you. Amen. Don't push them in that. Many parents today are too busy to take time with their children, and that is a mistake. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Sing together. Go to church together. Amen. Serve the Lord together. That's what I'm saying. Serve the Lord together. Let's stand to our feet. The call of God upon Samuel. My heart longs to see young people on fire for God. Amen. I'd like to see more young people bowing in the altar. I'd like to see more young people singing in the youth choir. I'd like to see more young people interested in telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. I'd like to see young people on fire for God. I long to see parents and children serving God together. Grandparents, parents and children serving God together. What a blessing. That's what I long to see. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truths of this as You've allowed us to study and think on it. Lord, I pray, help us that we might take it to heart. Help us, dear God, that we might put it in practice. My children are grown, Lord, but I want to see them serve the Lord. I've got grandchildren coming along. I don't have as much active part in my grandchildren as I'd like to have. But You know what's best. You called us out here and You put us here. I'm trusting You, dear God. If You don't bring them here, at least somehow let us have an influence and an impact these young people. But Lord, we've got these right here. Help me, dear God, to have an impact on these little boys and little girls, these young men and young women. Help us, dear God, have an impact on their life. Point them to the things of God. Lord, help us never to put them down for what they don't know, but help us encourage them to come to know more. As Paul said about Israel, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Lord, You know my heart's desire and prayer to God for young people is that they might be saved and that they might be dedicated to the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank You for putting that in their heart. I pray, dear God, You'd bring it to pass. Meet with us, Lord, in this time of invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several in the altar, maybe you need to come. We're going to sing a verse or two of song. If you need to come pray, would you come? Would you obey the Lord?